In the famous folk song, railroad worker Big Jim Goff is blown a mile into the air by a premature explosion. Come the next payday, he's a dollar short. The mean foreman informs him he was docked for the time he was up in the sky. Well, that scenario is not so far-fetched. The same issues come up in modern workplaces, federal and private sector. Joining me to discuss two cases, one in the federal sector and one in private, employment attorney Heidi Barakowicz. She's a partner with the law firm Mary and Scallet. Heidi, good morning. Great to have you back.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right, let's start with the private sector case, which went to the Supreme Court. What was that issue and how was it resolved?
Yes, so there was a Supreme Court decision from about a week ago, and it dealt with workers who worked in an Amazon warehouse. They had a specific shift starting and stopping times, and after their shift was over and they were no longer being paid, they had to wait to leave the warehouse and go through a security procedure. Essentially, the company wanted to make sure that they weren't stealing any merchandise from the warehouse. The Supreme Court, unfortunately, ruled against the employees in that case and decided that the employees should not be compensated for that time. It was a unanimous decision of the court. And
that's a rare thing right there, a unanimous decision from this court.
It is. It is. Although I think the fact that it was unanimous, though, shows that it's not, if you look a little deeper at it, it's not too bad of a decision for employees. Because it was a unanimous decision, they really distinguished out this security screening time as something sort of unique, in my opinion, because that really wasn't related to the work that the employees were hired to do. There's still all sorts of instances in which employees have to do work before their shift or after their shift or in excess of 8 hours a day where they, even under this Supreme Court decision, should still be compensated for that time.
Okay, so this is almost like the equivalent then of getting out of the parking lot in terms of whether it's payable or not.
That's a good analogy. That's a good analogy. I've always used the analogy in the past with some of my clients. You know, it's sort of like stopping at a red light on your way to work. You know, you don't get paid for that. And, you know, is it something like that that requires you to get to your workplace, or is it really something that's related to your job duties?
All right. And then the second case went to the Federal Labor Relations Authority in the federal government's case. This was having to do with the prison employees. Tell us about that one.
Yes. So this is one of my cases, and I represent all of the employees that work for the Federal Bureau of Prisons at one of the largest prison complexes in the country in Cullman, Florida. The employees, the correctional officers, it covered some other departments as well. You know, you can't leave the inmates unsupervised in their housing units, so they require 24-hour coverage, and the officers work 8-hour shifts. So in order for them to be at their post where they're supervising the inmates at their shift starting time, they've got to get there early, and they've got to pick up their equipment, and they've got to walk across this really dangerous prison yard to get to their post assignment. The arbitrator in our case, and then eventually the FLRA upheld on appeal that the employees are entitled to get paid from the time they pick up their equipment and should be paid for the time they're walking across the prison yard, which is quite significant. It's a really a huge place because they have to be constantly alert and vigilant. And, you know, you never know. They have to be cautious that there's an inmate that's not going to come up behind them and try to hit them over the head or something or try to escape. So that's an example, even under this Supreme Court decision, where employees are entitled to get paid for performing work before or after their shift, because even the Supreme Court would agree that the time the correctional officers spend getting in and out of a prison, they have to be alert and vigilant, and that's their principal job activity that they're hired for, so they should be paid for it.
Now, Ed, you had a similar experience way back in your career when you were an air traffic controller.
Yes, we would be required to come in up to a half hour early to get a weather briefing, get a traffic briefing, get a safety briefing every morning. And that was on our time. It was expected that you would come in and do that and then go in and relieve someone, take over a shift. So I think times have changed on some of this.
All right. So, Heidi, what is the lesson then that we can take from this? What kind of discretion do managers have here? Or is this a policy that has to be government wide?
Well, I would disagree slightly about times changing. I think, unfortunately, this happens all too frequently. And, you know, the question is, can you do your job without doing this work? You know, you're not allowed to work for free. You can't volunteer to work for free for the federal government. So if you're at your job for more than 8 hours a day, we really need to look at it and see, is it like the air traffic controller's example? You know, do you have to do this work in order to do your job safely? You know, if you work at a call center, do you have to turn your computer on so that you can start taking calls right at the start of your shift? If you're a federal law enforcement officer, do you have to get a shift briefing or get your weapon ready so that you're ready to work right at the start of your shift? All of those types of things, you know, managers really don't have discretion about. That's compensable work, and employees should be getting paid for them. And unfortunately, it happens all too frequently. And employees may think, oh, 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day, it's not a big deal, but it really adds up over the long term to something significant.
So does a federal manager have the discretion to, in creating his or her annual budget, say, well, my people come in 15 minutes early, that's, you know, an hour every 2.5 shifts and so on, do the math throughout the course of the year, and fairly budget for that?
They should. If they're not, then that's a situation that's opening up them up to legal liability. The employees, you know, can sue under the Fair Labor Standards Act, whether they do it in arbitration or federal court. They can sue under the Fair Labor Standards Act, and they're entitled to get paid for all of the time that they've worked in the past, plus an equal amount in liquidated damages, double damages, because they were required to work and weren't paid for it on time.
We're speaking with attorney Heidi Barakowicz. She's a partner with the law firm Mary and Scallet.
Heidi, I'm a little curious then, why, if it's a requirement that a Amazon employee wait and to go through security, why isn't that compensable?
The Supreme Court said that just wasn't the type of work that the employee was hired to perform. The Amazon workers, they're hired to sort packages and get them to their destination in the warehouse. They're not hired to go through a security screening at the end of their shift. You know, there have been a lot of other cases dealing with security screening. Employees at airports who have to walk through the security screening process just like passengers do, and the way the courts have sort of distinguished it in the past as it being not a compensable activity is, you know, the work that the employee is doing is no different than anyone else that comes through that airport or comes through that nuclear power plant. They've all got to go through the metal detector too, so that really doesn't meet the definition of work under the law. That's what the Supreme Court decided was true with the Amazon worker case. It really wasn't what the employees were hired to do. In my prison case, just random people aren't walking across the prison yard. That's something unique to the performance of that job. An air traffic controller, that's something that you can't do your job safely without having that pre-shift briefing, so you should be getting paid for it.
And what about, say, Customs and Border Protection workers, where they have a similar kind of coverage, 24-hour coverage? They kind of resolved the issue recently with, I guess there's a new law that enables a policy they were trying to initiate to get rid of what they called uncontrolled administrative leave. That might be a solution in some cases, too, I imagine.
So when you talk about AUO time, it gets a little, you know, there's a lot of different federal pay laws that apply just to the federal employees that don't apply to the rest of the workforce in the country. And so in the Border Patrol example, they work overtime. They work over 8 hours a day. They work over 40 hours a week because of, you know, shift exchanges, pre-shift briefings, or just emergencies happen and they've got to stay and finish what they're doing before they can leave. And AUO was a way to compensate them without giving them the time and a half overtime they're entitled to under the FLSA. But once you get rid of AUO, then now those employees are all entitled to get time and a half overtime for all hours over 8 that they work in a day.
And in the case of the FAA, we don't know what the current practice is now, because Ed was there back before the great Pat
Coe
firing.
Before there was actually aircraft flying.
That's
it was
right.
That far back.
Those propeller planes.
Yeah.
But in the case of FAA today, could they not be held liable for that extra time they come in because air traffic controllers are salaried as opposed to hourly?
So that's an excellent question. Everything that we've been talking about are about employees who are covered by the Fair Labor Standards Act. They are non-exempt from the Fair Labor Standards Act. There's a large group of employees who are exempt under the administrative exemptions. They are executives, professionals, supervisors. You know, generally, I use the analogy sort of doctors, lawyers, high-level managers are not covered by this law, in which case they're not entitled to time and a half overtime, although they they do get overtime in the federal government, capped at the GS-10 Step 1 rate. However, there are a huge number of employees in the federal workforce that are misclassified as exempt. So it doesn't matter what they do, the government's just not paying them correctly. There have been lots of cases, and I'm sure that there are a lot of employees out there still who the government has misclassified as not being covered by this law, so they're not getting any overtime whatsoever, and they really should be.
Can you give us some examples of some of those types of workers?
Sure. I've worked on cases, a lot of employees at civilian Department of Defense employees, people who are technical engineers, technicians, you know, in the Bureau of Prisons, you know, case managers, all types of people that had office jobs. They weren't correctional officers, but they were office jobs, were misclassified as exempt. But really, they didn't meet the exemption criteria. They weren't those high-level supervisors. They weren't professionals or executives. And so they were entitled to get time and a half overtime and be covered by the Fair Labor Standards Act.
So I'm thinking this is the kind of situation which may drive professional employees who are not managers to the unions, where we've seen a lot of action going on in the past few years
of
organizing themselves.
I mean, most federal workforces are unionized already. A lot of them, unfortunately, have low membership rates, is my understanding. But this is a great circumstance where people should reach out to their unions. You know, a lot of the work that I've done is through unions. Reach out to your unions, and this is something that they can try to help you with, or reach out to an attorney like myself who does this type of work. It's often, you know, sort of some simple questions can get you the answer about whether or not you should be exempt or whether or not you're doing work that you're not being paid for, but you should be paid for.
All right. Good things to think about for federal managers and hourly employees at this time of year when everyone could use a little extra cash. Employment attorney Heidi Barakowicz is a partner with the law firm Mary & Scallet. As always, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.